The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Welcome to the show. It's our first of four bold prediction episodes for this last day of May, and we are almost into June, and man, fantasy football season and football season are really creeping up on us. Adam, Dave, and Jamie here on Tuesday, May 31st, with some bold predictions from Jamie Eisenberg, including a player that's going to be, according to Jamie, bold prediction, the number one quarterback in fantasy this year, guys. Hope you had all have a great weekend. Memorial Day weekend, always fun, right?
Great.
I feel like I talked to you already because we have, so yeah. Yes, it was... It was wonderful.
How many baseball games in your household this weekend?
Three. We had a tournament in Sarasota. It was Ooh. Fun. Unfortunately, we went 1-2 in our three games. So lost to the eventual champion in the tournament, not in pool play. I forget what that's called. Well, we gave them the hardest game they had all season. So or all tournament. So,
How were your burgers? You guys had burgers?
I had steak. It was delicious.
You like steak. What's really? With you?
Who doesn't like steak?
I like
Guys,
steak.
I'll be right back.
Okay, bye, Dave. I'm going to mute you. Okay, good. Dave likes steak. I think that's what we learned about him.
Did you have a burger?
I did. I didn't really have any plans, unfortunately, but I was like, there's no way we're having a Memorial Day without burgers and hot dogs. So I made some burgers and hot dogs.
It was your daughter's birthday. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Yes, my daughter turned 2. We had a Cookie Monster cake. We're still eating it. We got, I think, another couple days left with that cake. It was a lot of fun. All right, let's get to the show here.
I went to BurgerFi on Sunday, if that counts.
That does count. I mean, I think you really have to have burgers on Monday, but that's fine. Or steak if you're Dave. A couple of things here. Just, you know, I just want to send my condolences.
Thank you everybody for your service.
Oh yes, that as well. Happy belated Memorial Day, and thank you to everyone who serves and has served. But just want to send condolences to Jeff Gladney's family and friends.
Yes,
cornerback for the Arizona Cardinals, formerly of the Vikings, he died in a car accident on Monday. So very tragic, very sad, and thoughts to.
I met him at the combine, and he was wonderful young man in the brief interaction I had with him, but just. Very, very, very sad story.
Absolutely. We'll turn it to a more positive note, and we'll talk fantasy football. And of course, the fantasy cops are coming out today because Tommy Pham slapped Jock Peterson, a couple of baseball players fighting over a fantasy football league, and we're definitely going to talk about it. Now, Jamie, what's your Russell Wilson bold prediction?
My Russell Wilson bold prediction is that he will be the number one quarterback in fantasy for the 2022 campaign.
And... this is really just a fun fact. I just went back and I looked at what is all the number one quarterbacks in fantasy have in common. Other than Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's the only one who's not in this club. But in the last 11 seasons, every number one QB1 has scored 40 or more total touchdowns in 4 point per passing touchdown leagues and 42 or more in 6 point per passing touchdown leagues. The only one who didn't was Russell Wilson, who had the worst QB1 season in the last 11 years in 2017, where he scored 37 touchdowns.
Saying there's a chance.
The thing about QB1 is that it's hard to, it's somebody's going to have that epic season, right? But just saying, he's going to probably have to throw and rush for combined.
Has Rodgers been epic the last 2 years, or he's just been amazing?
He hasn't.
Epic, amazing? They're both?
Yeah, I guess that's
right. Wait, he hasn't. Been QB1. It's been Josh Allen.
He's been the most consistent producer. Rodgers has.
He wasn't number one 2 years ago.
No, it was Allen's been two in a row.
Allen 2 in a row.
But he has thrown the 40 touchdowns. So anyway, anyway, you got to throw 40 touchdowns most likely. But Russell Wilson is your bold prediction. He'll be QB1. It goes together with another bold prediction of yours. Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton will be top 15 wide receivers. First of all, what is a bold prediction? Doesn't mean it's going to show up that way in the rankings. Jamie's got Wilson in his top five. He's not number one. But these are things that we could see happening and maybe draft accordingly, favor Russell Wilson on draft day because he's got that upside. But I'll let you explain. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, the thing I love about Wilson is his ADP right now. You know, he's not going as a top five quarterback. He's just inside the top 10. And I think as we're all well aware, you know, when you start to look at the top really six or seven, you want to throw Deshaun Watson in there, you know, factoring in a non-suspension. I think he warrants the being part of the conversation. There's so many good quarterbacks this year. You know, it's not just the top eight. It's really beyond that. You know, you have the Kirk Cousins, the Derek Carrs, you know, maybe Trey Lance if he's the starter for the 49ers, you know, still Rodgers, still Stafford, you know, all these guys have so much potential. And the later you can get them, the better off your fantasy roster will hopefully be. The thing I like about Russell Wilson is I think he's going to a situation where he's going to have the most pass attempts he's ever had before. I like the receiving core. I don't think the talent at the top is the same, but I think it's deeper. You know, when you factor in Tim Patrick and what they get out of their tight ends, whoever it may be, I still think it's going to be Albert O, but you know, you had a good second tight end in Greg Dulcich. I think the running backs will make some plays past pass catchers, probably more so than Wilson's had before, because I think he'll use that as part of his offense. If that's what Nathaniel Hackett brings from Green Bay with what we saw, how they threw to their running backs. So I just like the setup for him. I think there's going to be a lot of shootouts in those AFC West games with the Chiefs, the Raiders, and the Chargers. So I think we're going to see a lot of volume there from Wilson just in those games alone. Maybe he runs a little bit more than he has in the last couple of years in Seattle. He was off to a great start last year before the finger injury. And I think he just, you know, hope that these two receivers, and clearly I think if Wilson does what he's capable of doing, the receivers are going to be a big part of it. So I just like the entire setup for the Broncos. I asked you off air before Dave, who was having some technical issues, this question. We'll see if you both can get it. Nathaniel Hackett's been an offensive coordinator four times. Can you name the first three quarterbacks that he worked with as an offensive coordinator?
Yeah. EJ Manuel, Tyrod Taylor, Blake Bortles.
Two of those three are correct.
I don't have a clue.
Was I wrong on Manuel?
You're right on Manuel. You're right on Bortles.
But not Tyrod.
Kyle Orton.
Kyle Orton. So he's really dealt with some Hall of Famers now.
That is true. Wow. Then he gets that that guy in Green Bay. What was his name again?
Jordan Love.
Jordan Love. Jordan Love. Right. He was only the coordinator for the Kansas City game. it's a really exciting opportunity for Russell Wilson, who prior to last year basically was a guaranteed top five quarterback, you know, pretty much every year, at least per game. You know, four top five finishes in his last six seasons before last year. Or would that include last year? Actually, I have to check on that because I know he missed some time, obviously. But yeah, all right. Dave, any reaction? So how about you comment on the Jeudy and Sutton part, that they'd both in this scenario both be top 15?
Okay. Top 15 in points per game or overall?
Both.
Playing 17 games, so overall.
Well, that's the first part of it. I think Sutton can do it. I know that he had the injury a couple of years back, but every other year he's played, he's made the full season. And Jeudy got banged up last year. Hopefully he can stay healthy this year. That's the first part of the equation. The second part of the equation is, are they good enough and will they get enough opportunity to hit top 15, both of them? Because Jamie ran down the list of everybody else that's in Denver. They've got a diverse offense. They can beat you with multiple tight ends. They can beat you with their third and fourth receivers. They can beat you with the run game. They've got a lot of ways to make defenses struggle. And that's part of the reason why I can't necessarily buy into both of them. I think one of them might be able to, but I'm not even sure which one that can be. I think that'll take some research to make an educated guess, or maybe something will play out in training camp that'll show the story. The other point is that I don't know if there's been a time other than 2020 where there's been two receivers who finished top 15 on a per game basis in PPR.
No.
From Russell Wilson.
Nope. In fact, I remember going into 2020, there had never been, I don't know about per game, but there had never been two top 24 wide receivers on the Seahawks. And then both Lockett and Metcalf finished top 10, I believe, in 2020.
But, I mean, that's also a talent. This thing. I mean, they never really had two great wide receivers. It was Doug Baldwin and guess the second guy, you know?
Yeah, but so. I even included I think maybe Greg Olsen or Jimmy Graham, Jimmy Graham.
Graham was basically their best / second best pass catcher.
Right. He had a high touchdown season, so he and Baldwin may have had two good finishes. But what do you make it? Like, how do you translate Seattle to Denver when, boy, you couldn't even find a relevant third guy, right? So
yeah,
what does that mean?
I wouldn't. Okay. I wouldn't translate. I think, again, you're going to see the most volume for Russell Wilson ever. I think that was part of the reason why he chose to go to Denver, you know, the list of teams that he gave, because I think he realized, like, if he gets to a situation where there's going to be an opportunity to pass a lot, he wants that. He wants to be in the MVP conversation. You know, this is also a legacy move for him. He's already got his Super Bowl. He's already a Hall of Famer. Now, how does he stack those numbers on top of it? And, you know, I was just thinking about, you know, what you're saying, Dave. Can there be two top 15 guys? The comparison that comes to mind is Brady last year goes to Tampa Bay, or 2 years ago goes to Tampa Bay.
Sure.
This feels a little similar to Judy being Godwin and Sutton being Evans. Not the same players, but, you know, a guy that's going to be a high volume catch guy, I think that's going to end up being Judy. I think the touchdown producer is going to end up being Sutton. There were a lot of other weapons around those two guys, as we've certainly seen with Gronk and Antonio Brown and, you know, the other parts throughout the last couple of years that have made plays. I think that's kind of what Patrick is, what Hamler is, whatever they get from the tight ends. They're not obviously Gronk, but they'll get production. So I think those two guys, if it hits, you know, if the bold prediction hits, it's because Judy racks up a lot of catches, hopefully gets in that 7 to 8 touchdown range. Sutton gets the double digits in touchdowns, goes over 1,000 yards, you know, to whatever degree over that, we'll see.
Still gets 80 catches himself.
Yeah. So I think those two guys are the alphas. Whoever's the 1A or the 1B, you know, we'll figure that out. But I like the setup for those three guys in particular, for Russell Wilson and those two pass catchers.
All right. I want to tell you all that you can listen to our show on your smart speakers. If you have Alexa, you say, Alexa, play the latest episode of the Fantasy Football Today podcast. Or you can say, hey, Google, play the latest episode of the Fantasy Football Today podcast. It's a good way to listen to our show. Very, very simple. We've got some news coming up. I'm seeing some really crazy comments here in the YouTube comments. I mean, Adam from Tyler, I have to be the one to tell you that the Big Bang Theory is not good. Tyler, I know you're a dedicated viewer. That is the worst thing you've ever said. The Big Bang Theory is a fantastic show. But then it gets even worse. Look at Roth here. Roth is all about tight ends. Don't forget about Albert O. Tight end actually looks halfway decent this year, says everyone every summer.
Every year, yeah.
Irv Smith, Gerald Everett could have big seasons.
Well, why don't you transition to the news that we were going to talk about?
Yeah.
We had this little discussion on F15.5 yesterday.
Yeah, so we'll talk about David Njoku, but that is definitely second fiddle to the Fantasy Cops. We got to break out the Fantasy Cops for the greatest, one of my favorite interviews, media sessions, whatever you want to call it. It wasn't a press conference. That I've ever seen.
The first one or the second one?
Both of them. Peterson. You forget sometimes. Jock Peterson is 30 years old. You know, it's like you cover these athletes and you put them on a pedestal, but they're just regular people. And Jock Peterson just talking about his fantasy league to the media the way that you just sit there and talk about it with your friends. It was so funny to me. And if for those of you who don't know, Jock Peterson and Tommy Pham, they're outfielders. Pham is on the Giants, I think, and Peterson's
Pham's
on the Reds.
Reds.
Oh, okay, switch that. Pham's on the Reds. Can you believe
really
that? Can you believe that?
My God. You used to host a baseball podcast. Now you don't even know a team.
And I used to call him Jock Peterson as a Ferris Bueller dispute or Ferris Bueller reference. So, yeah, their dispute was over fantasy football. What's the most succinct way to sum this up? They had a dispute about IR spots with Jock Peterson being
slapped their taste out of his mouth.
Yeah, so Tommy Pham slapped him in the face, but just a few days ago and got suspended.
You messing with my money.
So it was a high stakes league with a lot of baseball players apparently, and the dispute was about Jock Peterson putting a player on IR who was just declared out for the week. And there was a group text where they said, you can't do that, apparently. He said, these are the rules, says you can do it. And then he also said that Tommy Pham did the same thing with Jeff Wilson. Problem is, the story doesn't check out because Jeff Wilson was on the pup list. And that's very much different than a guy just being ruled out for the week and putting him in IR. But some leagues allow you to put a player on IR if they've been ruled out. We don't play that game, but some leagues do. So whatever, I don't know who was right or wrong in that argument. The other thing was there were a few members of the Padres in the league, and Jock Peterson posted a GIF that was making fun of the Padres, and then he even went so far as to explain the GIF and show it to the media. It was so funny.
GIF.
He called it a GIF. We call it whatever you want. I don't care. And Tommy Pham took exception to it and said, like, you don't know me well enough to be making these jokes, because Pham was on the Padres, and Peterson's like, I'm really sorry, whatever. All right, my first impression, Tommy Pham is a baby. He's just a baby. He quit the league.
I don't think you'd say that to his face.
Yeah, I wouldn't. he is such a baby. He quit a high stakes league. He got upset about the GIF. He slapped him in the face. Like, he's ridiculous. But I don't know if anybody's talking about the Jeff Wilson controversy here, because that story does not check out on Jock Peterson's end. So, fantasy cops, what do you think? Dave, Officer Dave, what do you think?
Rules are rules, and they're meant to be taken advantage of. Strategy is part of the game in fantasy football. If you're allowed to put a guy who's out in your IR slot, you can do it, even if you get texts from the league saying that you shouldn't do it. The only person who can change that is the commissioner. I guess the commissioner didn't change that. Both Tommy and Jock, I guess, were taking advantage of that. I have taken advantage of that in some of the leagues that I've been in as well. When the rules changed, then you can't do it anymore. But the rules never changed.
Officer Jamie?
I agree with Dave. It's first off, don't ever hit anybody over a fantasy football dispute. there's better ways to handle that. Obviously, there's some emotions, and these two teams were playing each other. So athletes are athletes. But without knowing exactly what the rules were, because, you know, like you said, it's one each side telling a different story. There certainly should be a way to figure it out with hopefully not anybody quitting the league. But based on the interviews, I'm going to side with Jock Peterson.
Yeah, the Jeff Wilson thing is not the same. So I don't know, because he accused Tommy Pham of doing the same thing that Pham was upset about with the IR spots. But like I said, Jeff Wilson was on the pup list.
I actually have, when you're done, I have a funny baseball-related fantasy story.
Okay, yeah, I'm just looking at some of the comments here. Weldon says, surprised Jock didn't get suspended as well for cheating in his league. Victor says, someone needs to think of a good fantasy team name with Pham in it. I've got one. I think it's offensive, so just know that it's funny, but I can't say
it. We aren't family.
Yeah, we aren't family.
S hits the fam.
I've got, like, I'm gonna slack it to you, Dave, and you tell me if I can say it. Okay.
I'm gonna tell you to say it either way, and then you're gonna.
No, you won't. You won't get me in trouble.
Touchdown there.
What do you think, Dave?
Hold on. Bring it up.
Okay. Fam is a big Will Smith fan. Yeah, he definitely.
Yeah, I saw a lot of those.
Yeah. So anyway. That was I think the best part of it was just Jock Peterson's explanation to the media.
Oh, this is on the fence.
Yeah, I can't do it. I'm not going to do it. It's good, right? Give me an A for that.
Let's put it this way. Fam rhymes with a bunch of other words, such as name of an 80s music group.
Just stop. We're going to take a break.
Well, I got a story, though.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
So we have a former employee, friends of all of ours, who used to run a league. I don't want to say his name just in case they still run the league and get him in trouble. But he used to run a fantasy football league with a bunch of major league players. I used to write about it for one season. So it was Greg Maddux, Adam Dunn, Travis Hafner.
Burley.
Burley was in it.
That was the only one Dave remembered. The only White Sox. Well,
the one I was trying to help as much as possible.
It was a high stakes league, and David Wright was in the league as well. And so one of their drafts happened to be on a Mets Marlins homestand, and David Wright came into our building, and I was doing the draft with him in the room. It was cool. They had the draft board up. David Wright's putting stickers on the board. These guys get into it. I'm telling you, they were intense.
Competitive.
And it was fun. I hope the league still is in existence. And our friend is still running it, but it was fun to see. And there was a lot of trash talk going on at that point. I don't think anybody slapped anybody at that in that league, but it was pretty intense. I know, like, the Twins had a league. I think Keith, if I'm not mistaken, at one point he went to do a draft for Max Scherzer's charity.
I think he's done that a couple of times,
or a charity related to Max Scherzer. For something with the with the Nationals when he was on the Nationals at the time.
Yeah, so, we interviewed him about that, actually.
These baseball players get into it.
Big time, big time. White Sox have a league. Shout out to Rob Warren for running that thing for the Southsiders. I bet there's a fantasy football league, at least one in every Major League Baseball clubhouse.
Yeah, I'd love to find out about it. I don't think they usually end with fisticuffs. Anyway, thank you to the Fantasy Cops for returning. If you have any league disputes that you want to send in, put Fantasy Cops in the subject line. Email us at fantasyfootball@CBSI. That's letter I, fantasyfootball@CBSI.com. Put Fantasy Cops in the subject line. When we come back, we've got some news and notes and more of Jamie's bold predictions, plus a crazy fantasy football story from one of our listeners. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's petmeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sanfel, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
Welcome back. All right, let's get to the notes here. And Patrick Mahomes said that the whole receiving room is going to be involved in the passing game. Is this a story or just off-season filler?
I mean, when you don't have a Tyreek Hill, and as part of the quote, I believe it was in The Athletic, he said Travis is going to get his, essentially, and it's the receivers, you know, really more so that the ball's going to get spread around. He's never played with Juju. He's never played with Sky Moore. He's never played with Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and we know what Mecole Hardman has been. So it just makes sense for them to go in with the idea of let's develop maybe a number one guy. Let's find a number one guy. Let's see how it goes on a week-to-week basis. If we knew Juju was getting 150 targets, he's probably going in the third round. You know, that there's a reason why we have to sort of take this with a little bit of a optimistic approach, but, you know, a patient one at that. So I think you just look at it as, you know, Juju's the one that you should probably feel is in the best spot because he's a veteran and has proven that he can be a top-tier fantasy option. But Sky Moore could pass him early in the season. You know, Marquez Valdes-Scantling could be, you know, 3 to 5 catches on a weekly basis, but those 3 to 5 catches can end up being, you know, 80-plus yards and, you know, a touchdown every couple of weeks. And so it's a wide-open receiving core. We kind of expected that once they moved on from Tyreek Hill, but, you know, Juju's the one that feels like the most likely candidate to be the best option.
The Phantom Menace from Victor. The Phantom Menace. That's pretty good. All right, keep them coming, YouTube.
Is Victor Vegas his real name?
I think so, yeah. We changed it. That's to Victor cool Vegas. Name. Yeah.
There was a kid at the baseball tournament. I heard the dad say his first name was King.
Oh, that's a cool name.
Yeah. Heavy expectations, though.
Remember, I think it was in Seinfeld, George Costanza wanted to name a baby Seven.
Yeah.
I think that's
Soda also.
Yeah, Soda. Soda I don't like so much, but Seven I think is a pretty strong name. Okay.
Why didn't you name your son Seven?
You never know if there's
wasn't
third one.
The third brother in Ozark, 3?
He was 3. That's right.
Yeah.
Finished Ozark.
Nice.
I think tomorrow is tomorrow me, Jamie, and Heath? Who's on tomorrow? Okay, so tomorrow we'll do an Ozark discussion in the last 5 minutes of the show or something like that. No spoilers or anything.
He did. Adam did. For
you're
going to
do a discussion without spoilers.
No. We won't spoil. I'll let everybody know when we're going to do it. So if you haven't seen it, you can.
The show's been out long enough. Like, we're not spoiling Stranger Things at this point, but.
If you haven't finished it, I'm going to tell you. We're going to talk about it now.
Doing the right thing.
Yeah,
but
right.
We've reached our limit on when we can.
Oh yeah, yeah.
My fake endings to Adam. He texted me randomly when he finally finished. He goes, "Charlotte did not get abducted by aliens."
That's right. I was shocked. The Saints expect Michael Thomas back for training camp. Meanwhile, Jameis Winston is back practicing after tearing his ACL. So
the report part of that is he's still limping around. So just, you know, keep that in mind.
That's right. Yes. He's not 100% Jameis Winston. That is Michael Thomas, though. It's nice to hear that they expect him back for training camp. Give me a round for Michael Thomas.
4 or 5.
4 or 5 now, 3 or 4 if he's great in camp and you're drafting toward the beginning of the season.
Would you rather have Jameis Winston or Mac Jones?
Jameis.
Okay. Cleveland signed David Njoku.
Also part of that, though, Chris Olave looking really good, but, you know, to be expected.
Cleveland signed David Njoku, their tight end, to a big deal. 4 years, $56.75 million.
Yeah.
He's got a huge opportunity. And this is the time of year where you can talk yourself into liking a bunch of tight ends. You guys like David Njoku? Does he crack your top 12?
He might, as a early season streaming tight end who could become your permanent starter if everything clicks.
Is that with Jacoby Brissett or is that with Deshaun?
It can be with Jacoby Brissett. The matchups against Carolina and the Jets are favorable. So I would draft him with the idea that maybe the first 2 weeks of the season you squeeze one good game, one okay game out of him, and then you ride it from there. If he stinks in those games, then he's an easy cut. But late round pick.
I wouldn't do it with Brissett, but I could certainly do it with Watson.
Okay. Yeah, and what's the opportunity? Well, each of the last two seasons, Austin Hooper was second on the team in targets, second on the team in red zone and green zone targets, and he was behind Jarvis Landry. So obviously they're gaining Amari Cooper, they are losing a tight end target in the end zone, and they get a big quarterback upgrade. What else we got in the news? Not much. I think Baltimore signed Kyle Fuller. That was the last note I had, so... that's a cornerback. Give them some. They're going to have such a better pass defense than they had last year. Their entire secondary got hurt last year, and they bring in Kyle Fuller on a 1 year deal for some depth. Okay, back to Jamie's bold predictions. The first two were that Russell Wilson will be QB1, and Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton will be top 15 wide receivers. Number 3, ooh, man. This one, I'm going to give the old just to spice things up a little bit. Saquon Barkley will be a top 5 running back, as Jamie's.
Wow, a spiteful Giants fan hating that one. I can't imagine.
No, I'm not a spiteful Giants fan. But go ahead. It's on Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's first off got to stay healthy. You know, missing, you know, time the last 3 years has clearly been a problem for him. But there aren't going to be a lot of guys that we can point to and say the workload is clearly theirs. Feature back, workhorse type of guy. I don't think Matt Breida is the type of running back that is taking him off the field for significant stretches. Certainly significant key stretches. And you already have the one report, and it makes sense when you look at this receiving core about his involvement in the passing game. So if he gets back to that level, I don't think he's catching 90 passes again like we saw as a rookie. But if he's anything north of 50, given what the pass-catching running backs have been the last couple of seasons, you know, that certainly puts him in a great situation. Are the Giants going to score a lot of points? Probably not. But I do think that Brian Daboll's offense will certainly be better for what this team is going to look like. I think the offensive line will be better as they continue to build, and certainly the additions that they made this offseason. And so I think Barkley's at a crossroads kind of in his career, because if he wants to get that second contract, to whatever degree that second contract is, this is the year he's got to show out. And so do you have to draft him in the first round? No. But I would take a chance on him at the back end of the second, early third. As long as he's healthy going into camp, I think there's a ton of upside for Saquon Barkley this season.
Well, that's exactly where he's going. 45 NFC drafts since May 1st. Saquon Barkley is 25th overall. He's RB14. So that is ahead of Cam Akers, James Conner, Breece Hall. Now, the James Conner draft ADP doesn't factor in Darrell Williams. I don't know how much of a factor that will be for people. Breece Hall, Antonio Gibson, David Montgomery. Still don't understand why he's going 42nd overall. And Ezekiel Elliott. Dave, remember we were talking with Heath about who'd you rather have, Barkley or Zeke? And we kind of talked it out and felt like Zeke was the better pick. That's the way I remember the conversation going. Jamie said not even close. He's taking Barkley. Who are you taking, Zeke or Barkley? Because they're not close in ADP. They're almost 20 picks apart.
Right. I recall both Heath and I saying that we had Barkley ranked higher. And I think it makes sense to rank Barkley higher just because he's a little younger than Zeke, doesn't have the threat to touches like Zeke has. We've heard one story this offseason about Zeke running at 22 miles an hour. We'll see if he gets back to being the full lead guy for the Dallas Cowboys. And you might hear about that from training camp reports. I would take Saquon first. I don't know if I can buy into him being a top five fantasy running back. It's in his upside profile, though. You know that he's got that type of potential. Last year, the number five running back in PPR points per game was a little more than 17. That's six catches and 110 total yards. I think between that and finding the end zone, which Saquon would do a decent amount of times, provided that he stays healthy, I think that's possible. I also think the offensive line is better in New York. I think that the improvements that they made there, both in the draft and free agency, I think that'll help Saquon out quite a bit. I like the track record of Brian Daboll's running backs when he hasn't had Josh Allen playing in God mode. The running back has had at least 20% of the receptions in those offenses when Dable's been calling the plays. You look at this offense in New York, do they have enough players to take the ball out of Barkley's hands or to not scheme him up in the passing game? I don't know if they do. I think it makes sense for them to actually lean on Saquon and just manage him during the week and make sure, maybe manage him a little bit in the game so he's not playing 80% of the snaps, but still getting a lot of the work, because I think he's their best weapon on offense. And he's also, Adam, you know this, he's not under contract after this year.
No, yeah, as Jamie was saying, he's in a contract year.
Very easily could wear him out this year and then just not sign him again. So
if he's able to be worn out, he's so injury prone.
He's been injury prone over the last 2 years, and that's the knock against him. That's what, there's going to be at least two people in every fantasy league that will not take Saquon Barkley because they had Saquon each of the past two seasons. They know how injury prone he is. And even if he makes it to them in that round four range, they're going to say, I don't think so. I don't want to deal with that headache. The one other thing that I think is in Saquon's favor, I think he's off to a hot start this year. I like their schedule to begin the year. They've got the Titans, the Panthers, Cowboys, and Bears to open the season. One of those matchups could be tough. That Cowboys matchup could be tough.
I think the Titans could be very tough. Titans had a great run defense last year.
They did. They had one of the best ones last year. I don't know if it'll still be the same this year.
And
I think that the offensive line can be a little bit boosted this year. I think
that
could be a little bit better.
Yeah, they did improve.
I'm not making the case for him to be top five. Yeah, like I said, it's in his upside profile. But I do think if he can stay healthy, he should fall into top 12. So that's the game that you're playing when you draft Saquon Barkley. How healthy will he be?
Okay. Well, I remembered us kind of being like, well, maybe Zeke should be ahead of Barkley. But okay. Barkley, by the way, so 25 games since his ankle sprain in 2019. He's averaging 3.9 yards per carry. And that's the thing, Jimmy, just where has it been? He hasn't been the same dynamic player. Now, if anybody wants to go watch the highlights from the Saints game and see the plays he made in the passing game, then you can see. And go watch his touchdown catch against the Chargers. He completely jukes the defensive back. You can see when he's in the passing game, he's out in space, he's still capable of making plays. Why has he been such an inefficient rusher? 25 games since that ankle sprain, 3.9 yards per carry. And the excuse I always read, I always hear is he's just playing hurt. Maybe it's true. But I don't know. We just haven't really seen it. In so long, we haven't seen that burst, those big plays, and the efficiency in the run game.
Yeah, I mean, look, I would imagine most of those 25 games, factoring in the recovery from his ACL tear, too. So, you know, that's a year removed from last year, you know, just with everything was just bad about the Giants. Look, there's only one way to go for him, in my opinion, if he stays healthy, you know, and so. It's why I'm going to buy back into McCaffrey. I'm going to buy back into Barkley. They're still young enough. They're still talented enough. The teams around them are terrible. Those are two bad franchises. The Giants right now are rebuilding. The Panthers have been in rebuild mode now for, you know, three seasons. Hopefully they go, you know, in the right direction. But I still think for these two running backs in particular, what they should be able to do from a total touch standpoint, based on their talent level, based on their opportunities, I'll buy back into that at what the cost is. I know it's going to be expensive for McCaffrey. I get that. But for Barkley, you know, if as Dave said, if he falls to round four, please buy all day long. But I think round three is the right time to go get him.
Wouldn't you prefer the Barkley rebuy than the McCaffrey one just because of the draft cost?
Oh, of course. But
Whoa. You'd rather have what? McCaffrey in round one or Barkley in round three?
If it's round three, I'd rather have McCaffrey.
I think I'd say the same thing.
In round one?
Yeah, round four, I think I'd rather have Barkley.
Okay. All right, let's go to the next one here. Aaron Jones will... This one, I'm not drafting Aaron Rodgers if this comes true. Aaron Jones will lead the Packers in receptions. He has been second on the team in receptions three straight years. He's been second on the team in targets three straight years. He's been second or third in receptions three straight years on the Packers. That, of course, with Davante Adams there. Aaron Jones will lead the Packers in receptions, his ADP, just before Saquon Barkley at the 2-3 turn. Okay, Jamie, so this would be great for him. How many receptions do you think gets it done?
70.
Okay, I'll take that. That's going to be a first-round caliber PPR guy, no?
Yeah, I mean, if he can do it. I was just looking at it. I was like, I didn't want to do another he could finish this number, he could finish that number, you know, type of guy. And you threw me off because I thought I was going to have to give you 10 of these. So I was looking at, you know, some
10.
I wanted to do more of the bigger names as opposed to the lower-end guys. I mean, look, Alan Lazard and Christian Watson, Sammy Watkins, Randall Cobb. I mean, you know what this receiving core is. It's not pretty. And so, you know, let's say 65 catches. The 65 catches, if it's spread out over, you know, if four guys are in the 60s, could we see that from this offense? Probably. You know, it's certainly, you know, fair to say that Lazard can do that. Watson has the potential to do that. You know, if Watkins stays healthy, he can do that. You know, maybe it's Robert Tonyan having, you know, a big leap in reception total, but they're going to be very creative in how they put the ball in their best playmaker's hands. And right now, Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon are the two best playmakers on this team. And so I think, as we've seen, whenever Davante Adams has been out, Aaron Jones pass, his target spike, his reception spike. And so with Adams gone now completely, you know, maybe there's just a bigger opportunity for Aaron Jones and what he does in the passing game. Maybe he has that Alvin Kamara, Christian McCaffrey type of season. I don't think he's getting to 100, but it wouldn't surprise me if he's, you know, between, you know, 50 and 70 catches. And so just to, you know, look at it from a little different perspective, he could be a special talent this season.
That's something I really need to look into. I know the numbers are great. I don't know exactly what they are, but when Davante Adams doesn't play, and he missed one game, this year, week 8. Seven catches, so Davante Adams this one game. Seven catches, 51 yards on 11 targets for Aaron Jones. And it's happened before. The catch rate is just insane when Davante Adams hasn't been on the field. Dave, can you think of any running back who led his team in catches recently? Can either of you think of that? I can't.
How close was McCaffrey?
McCaffrey did it 2 years ago.
Did he? Oh, yeah. That probably makes sense, yeah. Did he do it 2 years ago? It's probably 3 years ago.
Aaron Jones like Christian McCaffrey. They could have the mindset to do that because they've got A.J. Dillon to help anchor their traditional run game. If they wanted to go that route, they absolutely could. We don't know if that's what they're going to do.
Hmm.
But I think if they did choose to do something like that, that's them telling everybody that they really hate their receivers. And I don't know if they're definitely not going to send out that smoke signal now. And they probably wouldn't do that till like the middle part of the year. They're going to try and get it done with what they have at wide receiver and what they possibly add to wide receiver between now and the start of the season.
But what are they adding though? Like think about the guys who are out
there. No, there's not going to be any, but like what are the best guys? Julio, that are available? OBJ.
There was the report about the Browns not interested in T.Y. Hilton. He's available. Yeah, Will Fuller is available. Not, I mean, right. You know, like, Julio Jones is available. He obviously would be the best of the bunch if he's got
anything.
He'd be
great for like four games.
So, you know, they're scraping the bottom of the barrel at this point, which is why they brought in Sammy Watkins. You know, they're trying to see if he has anything left as well. So
they
brought in
the pallet under the barrel with
Sammy. Again, I don't think this is gonna happen, but there's certainly a path to it happening. It's well there. It's well documented that it could happen.
You can absolutely say that he's going to finish top three. And it's probably likely that he'll finish top two. And so it'll come down to either Christian Watson has a rookie year for the ages or Lazard or Watkins gets enough work that they finish first.
Yeah, or
it could be close.
I know you
like it. Could be within like 10 receptions. Right. It could be within like 10 receptions of each other.
Yep. That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, this could be four guys in the 60s, five guys in the 60s, you know, and it's just, you know, no standout guy, which is, you know, not something we like, but certainly can help still Rodgers be a good fantasy quarterback, but also put Aaron Jones in the conversation to be among the league leaders in running back receptions.
Yeah, one thing we have to watch, though, is he caught 6 touchdowns last year, and he entered 2021 with 6 career touchdown catches in, I think, 54 games. So, you know, he didn't have a ton of rushing touchdowns last year. I don't know how much, I don't know if you can really count on the receiving touchdowns. That's for running backs. That's a stat that can make you buy in too much to a guy like James White, for example. But yeah, I mean, the role in the passing game.
I would say Aaron Jones has solidified a floor, if he's healthy, of 8 total touchdowns.
Yeah. I hope so. All right, here we go to your last bold prediction, and it is CeeDee Lamb will be the number one wide receiver.
You know, there's plenty of opportunity here. This receiving core is definitely changing. You know, they lose 2 guys that they've relied on at various points. Obviously, one big one in Amari Cooper, the other one being Cedric Wilson. Michael Gallup's coming back from the torn ACL. We don't know when he'll be ready. And so where is Dak going to go with the ball? Well, you assume he's going to go to CeeDee Lamb a lot. Dalton Schultz, you know, they have 2 other guys that they bring in James Washington and Jalen Tolbert. They'll throw the ball to Zeke, to Tony Pollard as well. But I do think that this is the breakout season we've been waiting for CeeDee Lamb. Entering his 3rd year in the NFL, I saw him in March, I think it was, this point, in great shape. He's got that mentality of, I want to be the number one guy. I want to show the world that I could be that, you know, alpha. It's not a huge leap for me where I have him ranked. He's a top 5 wide receiver. So, you know, we've talked a lot about who are the top 3 guys, Cup, Jefferson, and Chase, in whatever order. I don't know if Dave has Adams in the top 3. I know Heath does, but for me, it's Stephon Diggs 4 and then CeeDee Lamb 5. And so I think there's just most targets he's ever seen. We know this Cowboys offense at times can certainly get up there in terms of volume. We saw it 2 years ago. Can certainly see that happening again. I think the defense regresses a little bit. I don't think they're going to turn the ball over as much. Pass rush is certainly not the same. And so I think Dak's going to be in some, you know, games where he's throwing the ball a little bit more. Makes him an underrated fantasy quarterback as well. But I think CeeDee Lamb's going to have that big season that we've been, you know, kind of hoping for since he came to the NFL 2 years ago, or 3 seasons ago at this point.
Dave?
I tend to agree. You've got him ranked way too high, though. You have him 5th, you said?
Yeah.
Way too high. I have him 6th. I agree with everything you're saying. I love the schedule for him, too. Cowboys, all things considered, have a really good schedule. The matchups against Philadelphia could be really, really tough. But outside of that, and I think they play the Rams, I've got him at a top 6 schedule among wide receivers for the year. The one thing that stands out to me that makes me a little nervous about Lamb is that he averaged 7.5 targets per game. That wasn't even top 24 among wide receivers last year. We do think that goes up. And I can't help but be reminded of all the highlights we saw out of training camp last year, where Lamb's making acrobatic catches while he's being tightly covered and Dak is throwing to him a foot over his head. I mentioned it last year. It was one of the reasons why I was crazy about Lamb last year. And he started off really, really strong, and then he faded a little bit. I don't know if he's going to do the same thing this year. I think he manages to stay strong all year long. To finish as the number one receiver in fantasy, what does that mean? You're probably looking at having to get around 20 PPR points per game. That feels like a lot for CeeDee Lamb, because now you're talking about like 7 catches, 130 yards, or 5 catches, a touchdown, 90 yards. You guys can do the math and figure it out for yourselves. Can he do that every week? I feel like that might be just a little bit out of his reach. He'll have some smash weeks. He's going to be worth that early pick, though, to be a wide receiver 1 for a fantasy team.
So are you guys taking Lamb or Davante Adams?
I'm taking Adams. I'm buying into him still being a great receiver in Las Vegas. Derek Carr is a drop-off from Aaron Rodgers, but it's not a plummet.
Yeah, I'm taking Lamb.
Well, I'll tell you who averaged 20 fantasy points per game last year, and let's see if CeeDee Lamb can do this. The Patriots, Christian Wilkerson, 4 catches, 42 yards, and 2 touchdowns in 1 game. Do you think Lamb could pull that off? How about 21 points per game? Davante Adams, 123 catches, 1,553 yards, and 11 touchdowns.
The catches and yardage would not surprise me one bit from CeeDee Lamb.
Woo.
Could he get that many touchdowns? Yeah, I think he can get close to it.
That's 10 targets a game, by the way, for Davante Adams last year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Was there anything else I was going to say about CeeDee Lamb? I don't think so. I think we're good. I was looking at the schedule. Oh, yeah, that's right. I was reading an article about him on ESPN.com
the Cowboys writer. And, you know, one of the things I've kind of fixated on with Lamb is how much better he was without Gallup and with Gallup. And I think a lot of that was playing inside versus playing outside. And Mike McCarthy said that he's playing in the slot a lot last year and now playing the flanker position, which was Amari Cooper's position. So mm-hmm. I was encouraged by that. I'm sure they'll move him around, but I'd like to see him line up on the outside a lot more than the inside, than the slot this year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you for the bold predictions, Jamie.
You're welcome.
Cool. Let's read some emails. fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Okay. So I asked people in light of the Jock Peterson, Tommy Pham incident.
Twice in one podcast.
Yeah. What are some crazy fantasy stories? So Jordan had one. That's fairly crazy. I don't know if it's crazy, but it's entertaining. This story, unfortunately, isn't fantasy football, but it's fantasy hockey and still hilarious. In a league where I've won 3 straight years, the first place team who had by far the best team traded with the last place team manager who never set his lineup. He got the 8th-ranked player for the 60th and the 109th. I made a stink saying that's a dumb trade, and there were some heated debates going on. Long story short, that trade was going through, so I traded 6 of my best players to the 5th-place team for some scrubs and said if one trade goes through, then they both go through. Well, my plan sort of backfired as both trades went through. I deleted the app and didn't set my lineup for the rest of the regular season. But I still ended up making the playoffs, so I decided to re-download the app, and I ended up winning the league and beating the first place team in the finals. Everyone had a good laugh and couldn't believe it. So I've now won the league 4 years in a row. Great year in fantasy, both a football and a hockey title. All right, that is pretty funny, I guess.
It's awesome. Yeah. Do you remember the story about my family league?
No. PHAM?
It lasted 1 year. What?
PHAM?
No, not league? That type of family league.
Okay.
That game where they slap each other in the face.
Yeah.
We started a family league. My dad got very competitive into it. He missed the playoffs. He was the 7. He would have been the 7 seed, but there are no 7 seeds in the playoffs. Out of frustration, he cut everybody from his team. And then he told me, what's the problem? I just want everyone to have a chance to use my players. Like trying to like paint it like it's okay to drop Jamal Charles in the middle of one of his best years ever. And so I had to kick my dad out of the league. He's never played fantasy since. He's probably the only person that watches fantasy football today and doesn't play fantasy football anymore.
I don't even know if Heath would tell you to kick your dad out of the league. And Heath tells everyone to kick everyone out of the league. So
I'll ask him.
Those balls.
But I kicked him out.
All right, next email is from Matthew. Do you feel that the Pittsburgh quarterback job is Mitch Trubisky's to lose, or do you think Pickett is in line to start week 1?
I would guess Trubisky opens the season as the starter. But, I mean, he's going to have such a short leash. You know, their schedule, I believe if I have it correctly, it's either Cincinnati or Cleveland week 1, the other one in week 3, and then the Patriots in week 2. Then they get the Jets in week 4. And so that week 4 spot feels like if Trubisky is the starter and they get off to an 0-3 or a 1-2 start, that week 4 game feels like could be Kenny Pickett's debut.
After that game against the Jets, they play the Bills, the Bucks, the Dolphins, the Eagles, and then a bye. And then after the bye, they play the Saints. This is one of the toughest pass defense schedules in the league, and it's a reason to fade Deontay Johnson this year. What did we say about Kenny Pickett coming into the draft, though? He was the most NFL-ready quarterback that was available.
Ever.
If he goes to
that
training...
speaks to the class, though.
Yeah. Of course, to the class. If he goes to camp and he plays all right and he knows what he's doing, it wouldn't shock me if he was the starter week 1.
And for me, I could never make this team part of my 2QB or super flex strategy. There's just no way, because I feel like you'd have to draft both. You're now going to have 4 quarterbacks on your roster because I mean you can't have one of them as your starter. There's got to be a backup. So, you know, it's what was the situation I used last year? It's not a bad idea to gamble on somebody in a 2QB league that you think could win the job. But if you don't think they're going to be good, that's another story. I think it was the Saints last year. I drafted Jameis Winston. And at that point, we didn't know who the quarterback was going to be. And it ended up working out really well. He was my 4th quarterback. He got the starting job, and I flipped him for Robert Woods, which at the time was a good trade. But yeah, like I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna do that with Kenny Pickett because I just don't think they're gonna have success.
Yeah, but I mean, Pickett's the one to gamble on, though.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. But I just, what are you gonna get? QB 25 or something like that? You're not gonna win your two QB league because of Kenny Pickett.
Look, you could get Mac Jones. You know, it's not great.
But he was, he was QB. He was like QB 25. I don't know exactly.
Right. No,
what
but
he
I'm saying, like, you know, if in a pinch. And as we saw last year, you know, you could flip Mac Jones in a 2QB league or a Superflex league for something that might be able to help you.
He was QB 29 per game last year. But yeah.
He's just had to take out the Buffalo game.
Yeah, then he's probably more like 25. But you're right. Okay. And
when
that's,
when you need 24.
Yeah, I know. I get it. I just think in two quarterback leagues, you're not really playing with the full allotment of teams in my, like, you're not talking about 32 situations. There's just going to be some that you're off that you want to avoid.
I critique taking two quarterbacks in a one quarterback league. I don't have a problem taking four in a super flex or two QB league.
No, actually it worked out great for me last year. I was a little weak at quarterback. It didn't work out the way I wanted. So I took four and my intent was to, I don't think I was weak at quarterback. I think I was weak at other positions. So I that's what happened. I was fine at quarterback. I took a fourth quarterback because I knew that where I got Jameis Winston, I was going to be able to turn him into a much better player that wasn't available. And I did with Robert Woods. So those quarterbacks, they become so, so valuable if they're starters once the injuries start happening and whatnot. So loading up,
didn't
it's
I
good
beat you in that league with a backup quarterback starting? I got a zero?
Yeah, I think so. That was such a frustrating. I had such a great team and I had such bad luck. Okay, anyway, this is from Ralph. Last one here from Ralph. Good morning, Derek, Bernie, Jorge, and Andy.
Yankees.
Yeah, it's not exactly the core four, you know, because that's Rivera instead of Bernie, but it's close. Two running back, three wide receiver, full PPR league. I'm having trouble deciding on my keepers. I'm leaning toward Elijah Mitchell and Joe Mixon. My other option is Elijah Mitchell and Tyreek Hill. It's PPR, it's three receivers. What would you guys do? Would you keep Tyreek Hill or Joe Mixon, basically, when he's already keeping Mixon? Or when he's already keeping Mitchell?
Keeping Mitchell?
Yeah.
Is there a penalty?
It's got to be. So it seems like he has to keep Mitchell, or he's just, or he loves the draft value.
Maybe he got him as a free agent and cost him a lot.
Well, if there's no penalty, then you're keeping Mixon and Hill.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if he can. But sure.
If there's, you
there's
know,
got to be a penalty.
When I say penalty, draft compensation.
Right. There's no way he's keeping Elijah Mitchell over Joe Mixon, right? So that's got to be.
Or Tyreek.
Yeah. So it's got to be based on draft value or, you know.
Right. Penalty. So if there's a pick attached to it and you lose that pick, then I would guess Mitchell's the best value. And so then it comes down to where did you draft Mixon or Tyreek? Probably Tyreek first. So
I think the question also is, in a three wide receiver, full PPR league, if you know you're already keeping one running back in Mitchell, does this format matter and make you lean Tyreek Hill over Joe Mixon? He also says, I have the seventh pick and all the top running backs are going back to the pool, which means wide receivers should fall to me, which is why I'm leaning to keep Mixon instead of Tyreek. So he thinks he can get a better wide receiver than running back with his first pick.
So when he says all the running backs are going back in the pool, he means Taylor?
Yeah, Jaffrey. He just doesn't think he can get one of them at seven. But he can get an elite wide receiver. So obviously, let's say he likes Mixon better than Hill. He's just wondering if it makes sense
for him.
He's just
a running back and see if you get Hill at seven.
Yes.
Yeah, he might be able to do better than Hill at seven. But Yes, okay, that makes sense. Bam! Bold prediction number one, down. We got three more. We got Heath tomorrow, Dave on Thursday, and some loser we found off the street giving us bold predictions on Friday. You'll find out who during Friday's show. We also have a major, major announcement coming this week. Huge announcement. Going to knock your socks off. I think you're going to hear it tomorrow for Dave and Jamie.
I'm not on?
You're not on. Sorry. You can come
on.
I want
to know what the major announcement is.
I'll tell you off the air.
It's Charlotte goes to space.
But doesn't get abducted. She's on her own volition goes to space. No aliens involved. All right, everybody.
Get the rock.
We'll talk to you later. See ya.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.